You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the day and for the week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, who's the head of wealth at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. Really, really good day on the US markets at the moment because apparently the US and China, how many times have we said this? Apparently the US and China are getting together when it comes to trade talks, Greg. It's only been 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit longer. I mean, I've been selling a couple of certain industrials and things. Which, I mean, I was just shorter term trading for the week up nicely, and thought, oh, I'm going to have a nice peaceful weekend, not worrying about. Yeah, you could have a framework deal, but you know, certainly the market is pricing like that this is going to happen. You've had obviously the dollar weaken a bit. You've had the gold price fall back. It's 14.79. It's plummeted through all those supports. The rand 15.80. Obviously, the Dow's up 423, so the gold bulls, platinum bulls, licking their wounds today, and the rest of the crowd high-fiving.
Greg, and let's go to the Stock Exchange News Service on sharenet.co.za. Let's have a look at the PSG Group Limited trading statement. Came out at 5 o'clock just a few minutes ago. It's an investment holding company and continues to use the sum of the parts value and recurring earnings per share benchmarks to provide management and investors with a realistic and transparent way of evaluating PSG Group's performance. Its SOTP value, sum of the parts value per share, as of the 31st of August was 259.56, 16.7% lower than the 311.45 reported as of February the 28th. So down, in other words.
Yeah, that's. I think we spoke in the moment when David was on the show and we were chatting about it. And then, you know, if you sit down and obviously the sum of the parts, but effectively all the other parts are, you know, are not really adding value to the pie there. When you're buying PSG, you're basically buying a proxy for Capitec, and Capitec's been a great investment, and it's done superbly well. But you might as well buy the Capitec, because with PSG you get all the other little bits and pieces which seem to have lost their shine, really. The spaces which they're in, education and food and so on, seems to be a space where there isn't that much spend, really. But I mean, a brilliant business. Yanni Miton, his son's with him now. You know, the wealth which they've created, probably sort of post 94, they've probably done better than everybody.
Isn't it amazing that part of the Western Cape has produced so many great business people?
That's really amazing. Well, I think they sort of produced around there, and then all sort of perhaps studied university there, and then thought we'll stick around. And but one day when we've got a big listed company, we'll make the headquarters there. Of course, Steinhoff probably bought Stellenbosch's name down a few pegs.
You reckon?
PSG, and I mean, obviously the Remgro Group, and Mr. Rupert's there, more as the sheriff of the town. And so, yeah, it's a wonderful place to go and have lunch and a glass of wine.
Headline earnings per share will be between 10.5% and 12.4% higher. Recurring earnings per share will be between 15.3% and 17.3% higher. They're very prescriptive and they're very precise with these numbers, these 0.3s, etc. But anyway, PSG Group's live SOTP is available on a website, psggroup.co.za, Greg. Where did the share close?
It well, of course, as you say, that sense came out right on the bell, right on the 5 o'clock close. The share was up 1.1% today, 225 rand. So it has certainly picked up from below 200 sort of a week or so ago. So it's definitely had some quite keen buyers, obviously tracking the Capitec, but probably you would have expected a little bit more. On a day where the market is so positive, which you obviously get to later, but it's a nice recovery from the sub 200 area, and did some decent volumes, well, 90 million rands worth of shares. But Monday morning we'll have a better idea. Also, not fond of people putting out these things at 5 o'clock on a Friday, hoping bizarrely that all the brokers will be down the pub, which a lot of them are.
Okay, let's have a look at this one now. This is going to test you on a Friday afternoon. Nutritional Holdings Limited trading statement, that came out at 16.02. Nutritional Holdings Limited, Greg.
Yeah, so it fascinated me. And of course, the share code is NUT, and you'd have to probably be nuts to buy it. At the there's no buyer's price. It's offered at 1 cent in 31 million shares. I can't even see when last it traded. You could buy the whole company for 137 million rand. But again, a case of a penny stock. Everybody's trying to get out the door, really. So perhaps a prospect's not that good. It's not one which we at Kratos have done much work on.
Has JASCO been suspended? I mean, I've lost track with the amount of suspensions there are on the JSE because it's trading at naught, and it says here it's down 100%.
Which stock? JASCO?
JASCO, yes.
JASCO. No, I think your screen might need a refresh there.
Oh, okay.
It finished the day at 22 cents, which is down 8 cents.
So zero,
just looking, yeah, it's bid at 20, offered at 22. We did discuss the other day. I think just with the trading update, had results at half past two.
Yeah,
and it was already cheap. It was offered, lower. So that's a liquidity problem again with these small caps. As we were saying, we need someone who can do some proper research. Perhaps get Anthony Clark back on. I always enjoy his chats with you.
Yes, indeed. I'll get him on next week. Astoria Investments, NAV. No, we don't want to do that one. Anything else you've seen apart from these? Let's go back to Peregrine, because Peregrine, we spoke about this morning on the opening, and it came out with a trading statement. I think the share price down about 1%, something like that.
Yeah, down just 1.2%. I suppose disappointing if you think how strong the market was. So 1687, 6 million rands worth of shares trading. Sort of really benign set of numbers, really. Difficult to read too much into it. I suppose you've got to take a sort of more macro view and look at the space where they're in. Markets are not doing the volumes that they used to. They've obviously got their own asset management businesses, which have done very well. It's not a bad set of numbers, but I think time will tell.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices now, because there's been some significant moves on the international and local markets. Let's have a look at the dollar rand. Look at this thing, Greg. Dollar rand, 14.78. Great day in the morning, which is a 1.8% move against the US dollar in our favour. The British pound against the rand is more or less flat at 18.76, and the euro rand is 16.33, with the euro dollar 110.50. So not much going on with the dollar there. The dollar's about 0.4% weaker, but the rand is being skewed, obviously, because of its emerging market status. And let's have a look at the gold price. Oh, gosh. $14.82, down $12 an ounce. The platinum price is down 7 to 8.92. Where's palladium, please?
Yeah, down $3.16.97. Yeah, the gold price is troubling. It got into the 14.70s. Speaking to, I look at technicals and a sort of psychological levels, but you'd want 1490 to hold. Obviously, it hasn't, but let's see how the evening progresses. But, if these trade talks don't work out, I expect a lot of drama on Monday. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, indeed. The Brent crude oil price is $60.71, which is up 77 cents per barrel. A couple of missiles apparently hit an Iranian tanker, Greg. I mean, you never know. Has it come from Saudi Arabia? Is it self-inflicted? Is it a lie? I'm not sure. But anyway, the Brent crude oil price has reacted 1.3% to the upside.
Yeah, that's one of the things is we've become sort of immune to these. Some years back, if you heard a story like that, the oil price would have rocketed up. The world would have been in panic. The U.S. would have been sending warships and aircraft carriers. That's just another day at the office in the Middle East there. No one even knows who's shooting at who.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Is it a spoof? Are they doing it on themselves in order to get the oil price up because they're selling some stuff to China behind people's backs? It's actually a fascinating business, this whole black gold nonsense. How's the Dow Jones doing? 400 plus up. What is the latest? Look at this thing. Fantastic.
Yeah, correct. 424 points up. 26,923. So that's a massive move. I think 27.3 is will retrace to the previous all-time highs.
Yeah.
So watching for that. So there's been obviously a wall of money waiting to come back into the markets, waiting for any sign of any sort of even a framework of a trade deal. And one can sense that, what we were speaking about earlier in the week, about fear of missing out. And, you've got these algos actually doing the trading. So somewhere a dealer will give an instruction to a machine to start buying stocks there on the Dow. And then all the machines are trying to buy, and then there's no one to sell, really. So then you get these dramatic moves. But we've had quite a few 400-point moves in the Dow so far this year.
Most of your chairs today, Sibanye, Steinhoff, Sasol and Naspers, which is not an unusual collection because we get those most days. But I want to have a look at the top five major moves. I've got a 15-minute delay, so I'm getting the 5 o'clock prices at the moment. Just refresh my screen just for a moment,
yeah,
great, just to see what's going on. I've got Hammerson, Investec Limited, Investec PLC, Quilter and Capco to the upside. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a kind of London theme there, really.
Yes.
And I mean, this Brexit thing is just worn me down. I can't read another headline. I can't see another tweet. Could someone just wake me up when they've decided what they want to do? But now, of course, today, it's just obviously helping the world markets that it looks like there's sniffings of some progress there.
You reckon?
Well, you can hear that I'm not convinced.
You know, Donald Tusk, he's quite a hard nut, that Donald Tusk, and he said something that seems sort of rather conciliatory or rather optimistic. Now, he obviously doesn't like the British. Many people don't for some extraordinary reason.
But, ridiculous.
Yeah. He said something, and I think that's what the market is latching onto. People obviously short of sterling. Sterling has jumped dramatically. UK market doing quite well. Gosh, I really hope it does happen, Greg. I mean, I know you think I'm selfish when it comes to Brexit because I don't want to be in a passport queue, but it's affecting my well-being worrying about this.
Yeah, I think everyone, certainly in the markets and obviously whose lives will be affected. You know, this uncertainty, no one likes to live with uncertainty. And I mean, this has rolled on for way longer than anybody would have said. So, you know, good or bad, we need a clear path forward. And, you can see again a case of certainly there is money waiting to pull back into especially the FTSE stocks, which we can see here. Mm-hmm. And it will sort of lift sentiment and we'll know where we stand. So, you know, I'm sort of neutral on the whole thing, but you just want a resolution of some sort.
EOH has just come out with a trading statement, Greg. It's now 18 minutes past five, and 5 minutes ago at 17:13. EOH Holdings Limited came out with an updated trading statement for the year ended 31st of July. First of all, where did the share price close to give us a clue if there's some insider trading? And secondly, what did it say? Or rather, I'll put that up while you're looking at the share price.
Yeah, have a glance here because it looks quite complicated.
No.
The share had a decent day. Just remember, I mean, it's so quite a small stock now. So it's up 7%, which back in the day would have been something when the share was 170 Rand. But it finished at 12 Rand 76. Made a couple of headlines. I think we spoke yesterday. It was a front page of the Business Day that there were some deals that were questionable that were put aside and ring-fenced and said there's a question marks against these. And now sort of documents have been handed over to the Hawks for the people involved. And so there has been a kind of theme this week of you get a feeling that people which have been getting away with things for a long time are slowly going to be brought to book. So perhaps that's also brought some optimism back to the market. Have you looked at that trading update?
It says here from continuing operations, EPS is going to be a loss of 2.464 cents per share. Headline earnings per share, loss of 1.352 cents per share, included discontinued operations. I don't know what this means.
Mercy, yeah. And then like Wayne McCary will always say, you know, there's four different versions of HEPS and two different EPS numbers, and you can pick which one you fancy at that moment. But just at a glance, and I haven't obviously gone through it, but it doesn't look that good, really.
No, it's awful.
I think it's the second. It's awful, yeah. I think this might be the second. They gave us a trading statement on the 9th, which was Wednesday, and gave us another one, a further trading score. And a further cautionary announcement.
It says here, impairments of goodwill related to difficult economic trading conditions and a change in the focus of the group's strategy. Goodwill impairments constitute the vast majority of the total impairment of non-current assets in the current year. Further impairments relate to the overpayment of investments specifically in Zimbabwe. I didn't even know they were in Zimbabwe. The impact of the unwind of the GCT transaction, over-aggressive historic capitalization of intangible assets and uneconomic contracting on complex projects resulting in over-recognition of revenue and work in progress. I'm sorry, that infuriates me what I've just read.
Yeah, you basically need an interpreter. I think next week when we're going through these trading statements, you'll read a sentence and then I'll put it into English. But I wonder what's over-aggressive historic capitalization of intangible assets. That one I would have trouble interpreting, but it basically sounds like I'm not sure who the auditors are there, but you know that should be brought into question a little bit. I see Java Capital is the sponsoring broker, so yeah. I mean, obviously they
should be ashamed of themselves. Whilst management are comfortable, and that's incorrect, it should be whilst management is comfortable, because management, although it's a collective noun, it should be it's one entity, so it is.
Professor Williams.
Shut up. Whilst management are comfortable with this assessment, the auditors do not necessarily agree to the timing of the impairments and whether they constituted prior year restatements. So why put it out?
The auditors don't
agree with it.
Yes, because I can remember the day before, the day before Steinhoff, went into that massive decline, there was a sense announcement which kind of was worded cleverly that said, there's a little disagreement between us and the auditors, but nothing to see here, moving along. And that was – so when once the management of the company and the auditors start disagreeing on fairly fundamental things here, that's troubling, because then you have to start looking back at prior years and what have you. And I worry for the future of EOH. They're really going to have – they have really made an effort to tidy it up.
Yeah.
ENS went in and did – that audit, and they flagged a few things, and it felt like it was a little bit hurried, because obviously the market was waiting for a resolution. They might have felt they may not have been as thorough, and it seems now that the auditors have had to look at a few more things have come to light. So seatbelts tightened on Monday morning.
Our vest results have just come out, Greg, as well. 17:07 Friday afternoon. Hoping to slip it through your filter, but not a bit of it. Arvest.
Oh, yes. That was the one we spoke about yesterday.
Yes.
With the tomato sauce, yeah. Mm. It didn't trade today. It buys at 11 cents and sells at 97 cents. It's quite – you could sail an Iranian oil tanker through that double.
Drive a London bus through that one. Exactly. On the down, so yeah,
market cap is 10 million rand, sorry.
Oh, is it? Really? So yeah. Monthly salary for Greg Davies.
Well, I suppose it depends where it trades.
Yeah, exactly. Greg, on the downside today, we've got AngloGold Ashanti down 6.2%, Sibanye down 4.5%, Harmony a 4.1% loser, British American Tobacco. Oh, have a look at this one. My pension fund is starting to be boosted by this thing because it's 4% weaker at 500 rand a share, and Goldfields down 3.4%, Greg. Stories there, please.
Yeah, well, obviously the BTI is a big story for you and I, and I think it is a big move. It's a massive,
it really
massive counter.
Is. Seriously.
It's done nearly 1.3 billion rands of trade. Interesting, it's going the opposite way. It's all probably down and strengthening so much. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that. Was looking at the technicals and not the bets getting serious, and one of my guys was showing a next support's around 485. But
yes.
There, maybe we'll have to double up.
Double up to catch up, Chief.
Yeah, have a look at that.
Sorry, before you go on, let's talk about the theory of this now. Sometimes, because you are so close to the market and because you are so experienced and because you look at the really minute details of these things, sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
And you stand back and you say, so many people are annoyed with the vaping story, or not annoyed with it, because that's understating the case. So many people are concerned about vaping. So many people are concerned about the normal tobacco smoking health risks, which we've known about for ages. And so you say to yourself, well, this company is involved in those two things, so surely the price is going to go down. Does it ever get to you when you see this thing and you say, it's so obvious, sell the thing?
Look, certainly, and just keep in mind the share was over 900 rand. So you could argue that a lot of this is priced in, and certainly investors coming in and buying here at 500 rand, probably doing it with everyone knows the facts. There is risk, and there's certainly the FDA in the US, and there's a whole bunch of regulators trying to stomp out cigarettes, excuse the pun. But it's one of these things where, what we don't understand is, like, in China, India, South America, these health warnings are being completely ignored. I think what you probably find is for the next couple of years, it'll grind between sort of maybe 480 and 580, but people will be patient because the dividends that it pays off four dividends a year, almost like a bond, really. And the investors which are holding it would go for that. Probably find it's probably tracking some of the bonds because of the way it yields off money like that. So it's a fascinating stock. It's almost a shame that it's a secondary listing, it doesn't make a part of the all share index. But it would certainly make things a lot more exciting. But what?
Yeah, apart from British American Tobacco, and again, I don't want to end the week on a really serious note, but the point I was making about not seeing the wood for the trees is that sometimes we get too close to the market, and sometimes you have to stand back and say, actually, it's pretty obvious, and we're long-term investors or long-term disinvestors, and this looks obvious to me. For example, the Brexit story. So you've got 3 years ago, you should have said, I should have got out of these stocks. British American Tobacco, the one we've been talking about, I should have got out of this one at 900 or something. Do you see what I mean, though? Sometimes it's a little bit
definitely
more obvious than you think.
Sometimes you need to step away. I had an interesting dinner on Monday night. Three mates, which are actually clients there, and I just started throwing out ideas. And we sort of fell on the idea that Remgro had traded such a discount to its NAV. And as we said goodnight, I said, look, tomorrow morning on the shorter term trading on CFDs, let's buy some Remgro, which turned out quite well. It was up 3% today. We probably got in at 162 and out at 169, which, you know, from Tuesday morning until Friday afternoon, it's quite a good return. But you're right, the stepping away from the market, not looking at screens and talking to people which are, you know, looking at stocks for a living and just talking to regular guys and saying logical things. Sometimes brainstorming, really. These good ideas just pop out of the woodwork.
Okay, great. Give us the closing indices on the JSE Securities Exchange on this Friday, the last day of the week.
Yeah, decent day. I mean, certainly positive.
Good.
The banks up 2.5%, financials up 2.33%, industrials up 0.86%, retailers up 0.85%, I beg your pardon. Gold shares down just over 5%. So, I mean, that's a clattering. Platts down 1/3. Resources up 0.75%. That left the all share up 0.84%, 465 points better. So 55,537 on the all share. Value of trade, a little disappointing, 19.8 billion. Sometimes you get some trades that go through late, so we might see something in the low 20s, or certainly 20. When we look into it on Monday morning.
Very good. This weekend, of course, is a sad weekend because there's no England versus France. There's no, potentially no Scotland versus Japan. It'd be great for Japan, but bad for Scotland. And they're going to instigate legal proceedings against the world's rugby authorities.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
And also, of course, we've got the Japanese Grand Prix, which is, it's going to be exciting in the rain. Who is best in the rain? It used to be Mr. Schumacher, the late lamented Mr. Schumacher, the Regenmeister. So what do you think?
Look, just from past history, I mean, if it's really the heavy rain, but then that young Max Verstappen is very talented. I do remember back a race in 2014 where he did some fantastic overtaking, fearless youngster. And, you know, got a car that sort of, once it starts to rain, all the cars are much more evenly matched. These cars are a little bit slower than the Mercedes and Ferrari, but that kind of wet track kind of evens out, and that's when the driver's skill comes to the fore. And I got my money on young Max if it's a wet race.
Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. He's been with us all week on the opening and the 5 o'clock shadow. That was the 5 o'clock shadow, which will be back on Monday. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.